Now, one of the great joys of preaching through books of the Bible, verse by verse, is that each week, unless directed by the Spirit, I know what the text is going to be. And with each preacher in this church, preaching from different books of the Bible, we get a great variety of teaching. And this is a wonderful thing. But as we come to the next two verses in this apostolic declaration in the book of Philippians this evening, the similarities in this sermon to one of Pastor Peter's recent sermons are striking. Now, I've had this sermon floating around in my mind now for some time, and I thought it was rather interesting when Pastor Peter preached on a very similar topic. But I just wanted to reassure you that this is not a setup from your pastors. And we haven't had a secret meeting and identified this as a particular area that we need to focus on. But needless to say, the topic of ministering with love and compassion is certainly the flavour of the month at Lismore Bible Church. And I think this is for good reason, because I know this is an area in my life and in my ministry that needs work, and perhaps I'm not alone. Now, as we continue considering this apostolic introduction, one of praise, of prayer, and of thanksgiving, we come this evening to verse 7 and verse 8 in a sermon that I have entitled CCM, or Caring, Compassionate Ministry. So let's commit this time unto the Lord and ask for his help and guidance this evening. Let's pray. Father, we come before you humbly knowing that we are so unworthy. And we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for his righteousness that has been imputed to us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is sufficient. It's clear and it's applicable to our lives. Father, I do pray that your Holy Spirit would grant us the gift of illumination this evening. Father, please be with me. Please help me to communicate the truths clearly that you have taught me this week. Father, I pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I wish this evening to begin by asking a question. And this question has probably never occupied much thought time in your life. Why was the Apostle Paul's ministry so successful? Now, I understand this is a very loaded question. Now, we could spend many hours discussing this backwards and forwards. We could spill much ink in presenting a detailed response to this question, couldn't we? Now, today we live in an age where just about everything is analysed. Think of the workplace. Productivity, procedures, and people are constantly under review to see where improvement can be made. What about the sporting arena? The stats that are kept, processed, and analysed to optimise performance are mind-boggling. What about the various surveys taken by different companies and organisations striving to improve their service? This is all around us today, and I think it would be beneficial for us to consider the apostles' ministry and as to why it was so successful, to see if there is anything that we can glean to improve our own ministries, to make us as a church and us as individuals more effective as a gospel witness. But before we begin, I must say that I understand we live in very different times to the Apostle Paul. And we must be aware of this when drawing comparisons. But in saying this, there are some indispensable qualities of the Apostle's ministry that are still relevant for us today. So I pose the question again, why was the Apostle Paul's ministry so successful? Was it because of his wonderful spiritual gifts? Was it because of his Bible college education with Jesus in Arabia that must have been wonderful teaching? Is it because of the time in which he lived? This particular time in history was perfect for Paul to do what he did. Was it because of his complete dedication to Christ? His wonderful understanding of the Old Testament scriptures? Was it because of his devoted prayer life? His obedience to the will of God, his ability to defend the faith, his courage, his commitments, or simply the hand of God? Now, these all certainly played a significant role in the success of the apostles' ministry. But what I wish to draw our attention to this evening is the love, care, and compassion that Paul had for those he ministered to. And this is an indispensable attribute that we must all possess if we wish to be effective in ministry and fulfilling the Great Commission. So this evening we are going to consider this indispensable ministerial attribute under two headings, they being the apostles' affection in verse 7 and the affirmation of the apostles' affection in verse 8. Firstly, this evening, let's consider the apostles' affection. And this is seen in verse 7. Now, verse 7 says, "Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace." Now, from the commencement of this letter, it has been rather obvious as to how the apostle feels towards the believers at Philippi. This introduction so far has been extremely positive. And just in case there is any doubt as to how the apostle feels towards this local assembly, it's made crystal clear as to how Paul regards those he ministered to. Now, verse 7 begins with very strong phraseology that isn't as evident in the English language. Now, the first two words are "even as," and this refers back to what has been stated. It tells us that what Paul is about to declare explains why he has said what he has said. It reveals the reasons for his positivity. Now, the word "meet" in verse 7 is a very strong Greek word. And the English sense probably doesn't mean that much to you and I. It's not really a word that we use in this context. But "meet" is the translation of the Greek word "dikaios," which is a legal term. And it's from this word that we get our English word "justification," which is a term I am sure we are familiar with. And the sense of this term in this verse is that which is right. It was right for Paul to have this positivity. It was obligatory. This response was entirely appropriate. It expresses moral and spiritual rightness. And it was entirely appropriate for Paul to think of these believers in this light. The Greek word translated "think" in this verse is a very Pauline word. It's used 26 times in the New Testament, and 23 of those times comes from the pen of the Apostle Paul, with 10 of these uses in the book of Philippians. And this term refers to developing a mindset. Now, one of the best uses of this word to understand it is in Philippians 2, when Paul has that great passage about Jesus Christ, and he says, "Let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus." It refers to a mindset, to interior thoughts, to attitudes and feelings that motivate actions. So this is more than a mere feeling. Paul had these believers entrenched in his mind. But he doesn't just stop with the mind. He goes on and declares that he also has them in his heart. Our heart, as used in this context, is used as the same way it is in the Old Testament. It gives the sense of the whole person. It is the seat of physical, spiritual, and mental life. So this is not just speaking of some sentimental feeling, which is how this is spoken of today, but this is the deepest center of human consciousness. You know, Paul had these believers both on his mind and in his heart. He cared for them. He loved them. He was affectionate towards them. You know, Paul would give his life for these believers. You know, this described the settled disposition towards those he ministered to. Now, this is one of the reasons of the success of the apostles' ministry, because he cared. I want us to notice two characteristics of this particular attribute. Now, notice that this care is all-inclusive. Now, the text pronounces, "Think this of you all." This term "all" occurs again in the second part of verse 7 and also in verse 8. Now, the ministerial care and compassion was not selective. You know, it was not only for those who were easy to love, for those who were especially kind and gracious and generous. But it's made crystal clear that this inward compulsion was for all the saints. His love is not selective. He embraces all, not some. And this is rather difficult, isn't it? You know, some people are very easy to love. But in our ministries, we are to love all that we minister to. You know, even the unlovely, even that little child or the grown adult who just knows how to push your buttons, who knows how to make you mad. We are to still show them love, care, and compassion. This attribute is to be all-inclusive. Notice that this attribute is also continuous. Now, both the verbs describing how the apostle regards the saints, they being think and have, are in the present tense. So this speaks of a continuous action. This was a settled disposition. Now, this didn't describe how Paul regarded them on Sundays or every now and then. But this described the day-by-day heart and mind of the apostle towards this group of believers. Now, this wasn't something that was there sometimes and not other times. Now, this describes how he constantly felt towards those that God had allowed him to minister to. And this, my friend, should describe the heart of our ministry also. Now, the apostle has made it clear that this was his obligation. It was entirely appropriate for him to love, care, and highly regard these saints. And the reasoning for this is revealed in the second part of this verse. But I feel that since this was an obligation for the apostle towards those he ministered to, then this response is also entirely appropriate for you and me towards those we minister to. You know, whether you are a pastor, an elder, you know, we have an obligation to love, care, and have compassion for the flock. You know, whether you are a Sunday school teacher, a kids club leader, or a bearer of the gospel message, which is every single one of you, we have an obligation to minister in love. Now, this is not an optional extra, but is an indispensable ministerial attribute. Now, Paul's way of thinking is the right way to think and feel towards others. Do we possess this? In the second half of verse 7, we have explained as to why the apostle in this situation feels this way. Now, Paul speaks of two linked events in his life. He speaks of his bonds. This is a reference to his house arrest where he was chained to a Roman soldier. And he speaks of the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. Now, both defense and confirmation here are legal terms. Now, defense is a translation of the Greek word apologia, which is where we get our English word apology and apologetics, you know, another term I'm sure we're familiar with. And this refers to a speech that is given in defense, or it is a legal representation of a truth. And this particular statement is referring to when Paul comes before the Roman court to defend the gospel. But why? Why in this verse does the apostle mention these two events? Well, the reasoning for this is that it was in these events that the believers' love and care was made evident to him. Now, the believers at Philippi were not ashamed or intimidated by his imprisonment. No, they steadfastly stood by him despite the circumstances. And what we must understand is that this is very courageous. You know, anyone who showed sympathy or friendship towards one who was being tried by Rome might soon share the chains and the cross of the one they were sympathetic towards. Now, this steadfast support of the believers is admirable. And as a result of it, the apostle responded to them in the same way. He was filled with overflowing care and compassion. This was his response. But the apostle Paul is quick to point out that this continuous support that he was grateful for was a work of God. He declares at the end of verse 7 that the believers were partakers in his grace. You know, this phrase is interesting, and scholars vary in their interpretation. The word partakers is an interesting Greek word. It's a compound word, which means it's made up of two Greek words. It has a preposition, and then the word after it is a word that we looked at last time in the book of Philippians, the word koinonia, which means fellowship. So this word is continuing to stress the idea of partnership. But this time, they are partnered in grace. And this grace here is referring to the grace of God. The grace spoken of here could refer to the fact that both Paul and the believers were saved by the grace of God. This was definitely true, but I don't think that fits this context all that well. But rather, this grace is a reference to God's daily grace towards the believer. Now, not only are we saved by grace, but we daily live by the grace of God. And this grace is especially important in enduring trials and persecution. The New Testament scholar William Hendrickson describes this grace like so. The operation of this grace is which enables one to work in the interest of the gospel, to suffer for it, and to assist those who proclaim and defend it. So the folk at Philippi, by the grace of God, had partnered Paul in the toughest time of his ministry. They had met his needs. They had remained constant and committed to his situation. So the apostle makes it clear this is why he holds the believers so close to him. This is why he loves them, cares for them, and has compassion for them. But what I want us to understand is that the apostle did not just have this great affection for the believers at Philippi. Now, we may look at these circumstances and think, hey, it would be easy to have this care and compassion towards those I minister towards if they treated me like the believers treated Paul. It would be pretty easy to be affectionate towards people who acted in such a way, and that is certainly true. But this love and care is not only found in Paul's ministry to the believers at Philippi, but also in other churches where he was not treated as well as he was in Philippi. You know, we are aware how Paul describes his ministry to those at Thessalonica. Now, this is what Pastor Peter has been taking us through. He treated them like a nursing mother treats her child. This is the metaphor used. And although this church was not a bad church, it was certainly not the caliber of the church at Philippi. But an even more striking example is what Paul tells the believers at Corinth. Now, Corinth is what we would describe as a bad church. Now, they were selfish. They were confused doctrinally. There was wicked behavior, terrible behavior. And there were those within this church who attacked the ministry of the Apostle Paul. In fact, the main focus of 2 Corinthians is Paul defending his ministry, defending his reputation. Yet in 2 Corinthians 7:3, he declares, "I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before, I have told you this before, that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you." Now, even the folk in Corinth were in the apostle's hearts. He had a love, a care, a compassion towards all those he ministered to. Now, this was a characteristic of his work. And this is one of the reasons why his ministry was so successful, because he cared. He had compassion, revealing the love of Christ. And this, beloved, must characterize us. Now, we must be men and women who love, who care, who have compassion towards those we minister towards as we strive to spread the gospel. You know, can this be said of you? Now, could you honestly declare before God Almighty, who knows your hearts, that love, care and compassion describes your ministry? Because this is what the Apostle Paul could do. And this leads us to our second point this evening, the affirmation of the Apostle's affection. Now read with me, if you would, verse 8. Verse 8 says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ." Now, this verse is incredibly powerful. You know, a beautiful statement, isn't it? Now, the word record here means witness. It carries the idea of taking an oath before another. Now, the Apostle Paul here calls the greatest witness. He calls God as his witness. The God who cannot lie. The God who knows his heart. Such was his love, his care and compassion for these believers that the apostle was willing to take an oath before the Lord God Almighty. Now this reinforces the seriousness and the genuine nature of what the apostle had declared. You know, Paul wanted these believers to understand that what he had said was not just mere words. This wasn't something just to make them feel good about themselves. No, this wasn't just some political speech, which we're hearing a lot of at the moment, that often aren't true just to win our votes. But rather, this is the complete opposite. You know, Paul called on God to bear witness to prove the sincerity of his intense longing and desire. Now, this must have surely removed any lingering doubts that some of the people may have had about the apostles' claim. Now, the language used in verse 8, once again, is very strong language. The phrase, "how greatly I longed after you," is one Greek word. And it expresses a longing or a desire. One author said this particular word was used often to describe the athlete who would strain at the finish line in order to finish first. Now, the root of this particular verb is often used negatively to describe the lust of the flesh. So this gives us some idea of the strong desire that Paul had for those he was ministering towards. Now, he had a comparing, compassionate ministry. He could call on God to witness this. Would you have that sort of confidence to call God as your witness to testify and defend the character of your ministry? Now, this is a very challenging thought, isn't it? Now, the final phrase of verse 8 is where I want to draw our attention. For it's here that holds the key to possessing this attribute. It's here where we can learn how to possess the same love, care, and compassion that was evident in the ministry of the great apostle. Now, the final phrase of verse 8 says, in the bowels of Jesus Christ. The term bowels refers to the inward parts, a term describing the inward emotions, compassion, and affection. Now, it has a similar meaning to when we declare today, we love someone with all of our hearts. Now, obviously, this is not referring to the actual organ that pumps blood around our bodies, but it speaks of a complete love. And this is the idea of this term, bowels. It was a complete love and care. But notice this love, care, and compassion was in the bowels of Jesus Christ, not the bowels of Paul. And this is important to understand, and it means a number of things. Now, firstly, Paul's love was patterned after Christ. Now, Paul used Jesus Christ as the example. The apostle imitated his ministerial qualities on those of the Master. Now, and it is more than evident from the Gospels that Jesus Christ's ministry was one of love and compassion. You know, how often it is said Jesus had compassion on those that come unto him. What about as the Master stood over Jerusalem, the King of Kings, he looked out and he wept because of the spiritual condition of the people. And ultimately, on the cross, where Christ gave up his life to pay sin's ransom. What greater love and compassion than this? You know, Christ is the ultimate example, and Paul patterned his ministry on this, which we would do well to do also. But this phrase means more than this. It also carries the idea that Paul's love, care, and compassion communicated the love of Christ to those he ministered towards. You know, people could see the love of Christ from how Paul ministered. And this, my friend, should also be the case from within our lives and ministries. You know, we should live, minister, and share the gospel in such a way that the love of Christ shines out from us and illuminates this dark world. But I think this phrase means one more thing, and this is the most important. It means that the love of Paul was motivated and energized by the love of Christ. No, it was the love of Christ that was motivating and empowering the great love and compassion that Paul possessed. No, it is Christ who is the source of this love. The love of Christ had so gripped the apostle's heart that it flowed out abundantly in his ministry. It was from Christ. And all real spiritual love is but a portion of Christ's love. The love and care that Paul showed is not merely natural affection, but it springs from his devotedness to Christ. His heart beat in rhythm with the heart of Jesus. Or as one author put it, it was not Paul who lives within Paul, but Jesus Christ, which is why Paul is not moved by the bowels of Paul, but by the bowels of Jesus Christ. No, this is why the apostle showed such great love, care, and compassion, because he was completely and utterly devoted to Christ. The perfect love of Christ had filled him, and it was overflowing to others. No, Christ was the source and the motivating power behind this care, and Christ is still the secret to possessing this today. No, we need to have the heart of Christ in ministry. And this can be cultivated by spending time in the Word, by spending time in prayer, spending time in meditation, by getting to know and understand our Savior better, allowing His character, attributes, and glory to grab hold of our hearts. Now, we need to get a glimpse of the Savior's perfect love, His perfect care and compassion towards you and me. You and me, hell-bound sinners. And if that reality grabs hold of our hearts, then the result will be love, care, and compassion will come flooding out in our lives and ministries. Now, the Apostle Paul has spelled out precisely and unambiguously the great love, care, and compassion he has for the saints. The depth and reality of Paul's love has been brought to our attention. And the spotlight must now turn to us. We must now look at our own hearts. Now, can we honestly say that our ministry, whether you be a pastor, a deacon, Sunday school teacher, kids club leader, or an evangelizer, which we are all called to be, can our ministry be described as one of love and care? Now, can you honestly and confidently say you love and care for those you minister to? Now, more importantly, would those you minister to affirm this? Now, could you, like Paul, call God as your witness? Beloved, it is of vital importance that we don't underestimate the absolute necessity that we as a church and we as individuals possess this attribute. We must minister in love. We must show the love of Christ. Now, one of the reasons Paul's ministry was so successful is because it bled love. And we too must be like this. We must understand the power of possessing this in ministry. Right, I fear that this is often something lacking. And I say that because I know at times this is lacking in my life. It's lacking in my ministry. And when this happens to us, it is imperative, my friend, that we look to Christ, consider His love towards us, and that will fuel our love and care for those we minister to. Now, love, care, and compassion are indispensable in any successful ministry. Do you possess these? And this evening, I wish to close with a story to illustrate the power of possessing these attributes. Now, I know of a young lady who lived in a very troubled family. Now, she came into contact with a church kids club and found something there that was often missing at home, and that was love and care. Now, these Christians actually cared for this young girl, and it was that fact alone that made her to keep returning. You know, during her teenage years, this young lady faced many great difficulties in her life. And once again, it was the love and care of certain church folk that helped her during this tough time. And in fact, it was the particular kindness of one individual that led this young lady to trust in Jesus Christ as her Savior, because she could see in this individual something that she wasn't used to, that being love and care. Now, the love of Christ was manifested to her from this ministry. You know, this young lady began to attend church, and once again the love and care of this church helped this young lady through some great difficulties that she was experiencing. And it was this that kept her coming to church until the roots of her faith had finally grabbed hold. You know, the caring, loving, compassionate ministry of this church, and particularly some individuals, had completely changed the life of this young lady. And where this young lady now is simply incredible. You know, she had such a troubled beginning, but now this young lady is in full-time ministry. You know, this young lady is my wife. You know, never, ever underestimate the power of compassion, the power of simply caring, the power of showing the love of Christ. Amen. Let's pray.